This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it.
Now, today we're talking about grit. Let's talk about grit, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things, all the bad things you can. I don't know the words. Let's talk about grit. So, just finished reading a new book written by Angela Duckworth called Grit. And in her book, she describes the four traits of the grittiest people, the four traits that all gritty people have in common, successful gritty people. Now, before we dive into those traits and how you can develop them, let's talk a little bit about what grit actually is. What is grit? So grit is a combination of passion plus perseverance. That's what grit is, right? Here's how she describes it in her book. To be gritty is to keep putting one foot in front of the other. To be gritty is to hold fast to an interesting and purposeful goal. To be gritty is to invest day after week after year in challenging practice. To be gritty is to fall down 7 times and rise 8. So, grit is an almost unstoppable combination of courage, persistence, and passion that's possessed by some of the greatest, most successful people in the world. And guess what? It's a quality that anybody, including yourself, is capable of developing. And why is grit important? Well, if you're sick of giving up on stuff that you know you want to do, that you won't know you want to achieve, right? If you're sick of not finishing what you start, not following through, if you're sick of constantly coming up short of success, then growing grit is the thing that can help you blast past those brick walls. It's the thing that can help you overcome obstacles and achieve your greatest goals. So if you're ready, let's talk about getting gritty with it. The first trait that she talks about in her book is passionate interest. Develop an area of passionate interest. So gritty people choose an ultimate top-level goal within an area of passionate interest, which they then proceed to pursue throughout their careers. Now, this doesn't mean that their ultimate top-level goals don't change, right? Our perspective changes, our interests tend to change, and maybe what you thought you really loved to do last year is no longer the case for what you love to do this year. And so, it doesn't mean that it needs to be static. It can be dynamic. You can change your ultimate top-level goal. You can change your area of expertise or specialty or passionate interest. But it's important, she mentions, to have one theme, like one area of passionate interest that you set up an ultimate top-level goal in and then, you know, kind of take action towards on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So all this means is, just means that they set their sights, gritty people just set their sights on something, one big thing, and then organize their lives to take actions that help them meet their ultimate goals within that area of interest. Okay, cool, wonderful. So trait numero uno of gritty people, get passionate. Now, not to be mixed up with, now I want to make this clear here, to get passionate is not to, you know, be mistaken with follow your passion, okay? Because, you know, follow your passion is a piece of advice. You've heard me say this before. It's a piece of advice that's both overused and misunderstood by millions of people looking for practical, you know, career advice to help them find fulfilling work, meaningful work, telling somebody to just go and follow your passion, which, by the way, I'm not preaching here. This is something that I personally experienced myself. So, and you've heard me discuss it before. Like, you know, just trying to find your passion, follow your passion, and thinking that's what you need to do if you want to, you know, have a happy life, have a fulfilling career. Yes, yeah, people who are fulfilled by their careers are more passionate, for sure, no doubt about it. But it's that whole process of trying to find it that can send people on this wild goose chase. And they, you know, are always thinking like, oh, if I don't absolutely love it, then I'm not passionate about it. Or if I'm doing something, right, and I don't immediately feel passionate about it, as soon as I start doing it, then, you know, it's not my thing. But in truth, it's not about that. It's, you know, it's not like it falls in your lap. Oftentimes, it's not necessarily about doing finding the right work as much as it's about doing the work right. Because that can often lead to passion as well, right? You might start off at something and you just feel, eh, but then all of a sudden you get better at it and then you start to really enjoy it and then you get in flow and then you get passionate about it and then you start looking forward to it and the next thing you know, you're energized about it and boom, that's an area of passionate interest. You can go deep within it. So telling somebody to just simply go and follow your passion isn't necessarily much different than telling somebody to just be happy, right? Passion and happiness, they're both results. They're both outcomes, which means we feel them as a byproduct of taking action. So back to Duckworth here on her idea of passion and how important that is to developing and growing grit. Now, I really like how she sums it up, right? Here's what she says. Passion for your work is a little bit of discovery followed by a lot of development and then a lifetime of deepening, a lifetime of deepening. So in order to discover your passion, what you need to do is just get out there and try things. If you're seeking your passion, start with discovery. Ask yourself, what do I love? What fascinates me? If you're having a tough time coming up with a list of stuff that you love to do, ask yourself this. What could I be passionate about if I tried it? That's a good question. That's a really, really good question to ask yourself. What could I be passionate about if I tried it? Because this is going to lead you to a list of potential things that you can then go out and actually try. Right? So once you find a direction that you're interested in, experiment with it, play with it, feel free to make guesses, eliminate the stuff that doesn't work out for you. And then finally, work on developing this interest by asking yourself questions, digging deep for answers, figuring out, do I really enjoy this? Could I potentially see myself finding this fulfilling a year down the line, 10 years down the line, whatever? You know, find other people who share this interest. And ask them questions. Look for a mentor. If you have a direction of interest, but you don't have a clear passion, look for ways to explore passion within that interest, right? So bottom line is this. We often don't know what we're passionate about until we, number one, go out there and do a bunch of stuff. Number two, pick something from that pile of potential passions and then go deep and develop our skills. And then number three, give ourselves enough time to get good enough at it that we begin to sustain our passion on a regular basis. Let's talk about trait number two of grittiness. Trait number two is practice, deliberate practice. So once you've decided on a specific area of interest, what you want to do is you want to let that interest lead you towards deep practice, the daily discipline of trying to do things better than we did them yesterday. So here's what she says. Duckworth tells us that the most successful people in every field, from sports to business to cooking, they got to the top because they dedicated themselves to not just regular practice, but deliberate practice, deep practice. Now, when the best of the best want to improve and excel at what they do, what do? They do two things, one of which most people are familiar with. They practice for thousands of hours, right? You've heard of the 10,000-hour rule. That's quantity of hours that people put into practicing their craft. What's less known is the second piece that really contributes to your success, which is the quality of your practice. So it's not just quantity, it's also quality. Let me give you an example. You know, have you ever been in the middle of reading a book, right? And a few pages later, you're reading the book, a few pages later, you read a few pages, two, three, four, five pages, and then all of a sudden you realize like, whoa, what did I just read, right? You realize that you had no idea what you just read, like, you know, over the last three or four pages. That's quantity over quality. You put the time in, you read the pages, right? But you weren't deliberately thinking about the ideas. You know, how can I apply this idea to my life? How can I apply this idea to my life? Maybe you weren't taking notes. Maybe you're just reading passively, right? Have you ever daydreamed while you were reading something, right? That's, you know, you were still doing it. You were still putting in the time, but you weren't present. So the quality aspect wasn't there. So that's just an example of the difference between quality and quantity. Quantity has to do with putting in the time to practice. Quality has to do with being present while you practice. That's important. Very, very, very important. You want to have both. And that's how you develop deliberate practice, deep practice. So here's how you can develop a routine, because that's the key there. A routine of high quality deliberate practice. First, you want to have a stretch goal for yourself to strive towards. Next, you want to practice with total focus. You want to seek and use feedback to get better, right? Always be thinking about, how can I get better? How can I tweak this? How can I enhance my approach here? And then you want to repeat all of this stuff in mind, all of your key learnings in mind, so you can get better and better and better and better and better every day, every week, every month, every year, until you achieve mastery. So you want to view each experience, the success and the failure, as a productive part of your deliberate practice, right? It's fun. It's fun. Even if you don't get, even if you failed at it, even if you did it wrong, it's fun because now you can do it better. Now you can do it differently. Now you can try again. Now you can improve. So step one to developing a routine of high quality deliberate practice, something that you want to do ideally every day for at least an hour, you know, you want to practice your craft, is first, you want to have a stretch goal to strive towards, something long term. Then you want to have an idea that you got to practice with total focus. Eliminate the windows, close all the windows, you know, don't have your phone nearby. Eliminate all distractions and focus, total focus and attention on what you want to crush, right? On your deliberate practice. And then the third step, once you achieve your goal, right? You have a stretch goal and then you work towards that daily with total focus for a specific period of block time, right? Maybe 1 hour, maybe 4 hours. So for me, I have, you know, every day I block out 4 hours for deep work, as Cal Newport calls it, where I focus on my most important project, right? And I do that at the same time every day, every single day. And so that's an example, right? You might want to take your big giant stretch goal that you've got, your ultimate top level goal, and then you want to set a schedule for yourself. Look at your calendar. Okay, every day between the hours of 8 a.m. and 12 p.m., I will work on my top most important project, right? My deliberate practice, my deep work, and I will do, you know, 5 things to move this project forward, to move the needle for myself. Okay, make it a habit. Very, very important key idea there. And then once you achieve your big goal, establish another one, set another one up, begin your practice again, keep on rinsing and repeating. That's the path of mastery. That's the path of becoming the best of the best of what you do. So that's the second thing there. Okay, so number one is passion, number two is practice, and number three is purpose. Purpose. So gritty people might begin with a passion that's like self-focused, right? But those with the most success, they find a way to serve. They find a way to benefit others as well. So you start with an area of interest, passionate interest, then you develop mastery by practicing every single day. And then thirdly, you start thinking about purpose, right? You find a purpose to your passion and all your hard work. And you start to serve other people, deliver value. And this purpose provides a lot of motivation for you to excel, to engage in deliberate practice more, and to enjoy, you know, just all in all, a fulfilling life from serving others. I believe, where does purpose come from, by the way? I think it comes from perspective. Purpose comes from perspective. You know, you might know the old story about the bricklayers. You ask one bricklayer what he's doing, right? And he says he's laying bricks. He's just doing his job. Right? What do you think I'm doing, buddy? It's hot out here. I'm just laying these damn bricks. I'm just trying to get my paycheck, man. Get out of my way. Leave me alone. Let me do my job. And then you say, okay, whatever, man. Do your thing. You walk, you take a few steps down the line, and you ask another bricklayer, what are you doing, buddy? And he says he's building a cathedral for his community. That's the difference between a job versus a calling. You know, the first guy, he says he's just laying bricks for a paycheck. The second guy, he's doing the same job. He's doing the same exact thing, but his perspective is different. He's building a cathedral for his community. That's a calling. So it's not a person's work that makes the difference. It's a person's perspective that makes the difference. And that is what leads to fulfilling, meaningful work. So at first glance, grit might seem like something that's at odds with purpose, but really, grit involves focusing on a personal top-level goal, while purpose requires deep consideration of others, which is involved in grit, right? You get gritty by having a that's how you really extend your grit, your level of stick-to-itiveness, your ability to stick through it when everything is kind of, you know, collapsing over your head, when things don't seem like they're going as well as they should, when you've already failed 17 times on this project. You have a purpose, and that is really what helps you stick through it. When nothing else works, purpose is what helps you stick with it. And your purpose might be your kids. Your purpose might be to help other people, to inspire. So for example, my purpose, I believe, for everything that I do, my mission is always to inspire people, to inspire you, to inspire yourself, to improve your life and achieve your goals. To inspire you, to inspire yourself, to improve your life and achieve your goals. That's my mission. That's my purpose with everything that I do. Whether this podcast, whether I'm hosting an event of some kind, whether I'm doing a speaking engagement, whether through it's with Flash Books, with my our book summary company, you know, whatever it is, I'm always thinking about that. Inspire you to inspire yourself to improve your life and achieve your goals. Boom. Right? That's my purpose. Different for everybody, but it's always got to have a couple of things involved within it. So let's talk about what that has. So the process for acquiring purpose, it starts with a spark, an area of interest. And then you find someone who's also purposeful, who's also got a sense of mission for themselves, and you watch them, see how they live with purpose. You know, you find a role model. That's always helpful to help to find your purpose for yourself. And then what follows that is a sense of internalization, right? I believe I can personally make a difference, right? And then that's how purpose begins to develop, a spark, a role model, a dedication to making a difference. So to cultivate purpose for yourself, think about ways the work you're already doing can help society. When people start to think creatively about their job and start generating purpose, they come up with all kinds of ways to make their work more meaningful. So that was number three. So far, we've got passion, number one, number two, practice, number three, purpose, and number four, the fourth and final quality of super gritty people, is a sense of hope. Having hope is about having optimism for the future, regardless of how many setbacks you need to overcome until you achieve your goals. Hope helps you get through. So to quote Duckworth from her book, Grit, once again, grit depends on a different kind of hope, she says. It rests on the expectation that our own efforts can improve our own future. I have a feeling tomorrow will be better is different from my resolve to make tomorrow better. That was a biggie right there. That was a knowledge bomb, baby. I have a feeling tomorrow will be better. That's wimpy. It's hopeless. I resolve to make tomorrow better. That's strong, hopeful. That's gritty, right? I have a feeling tomorrow's going to be better. That's wimpy. That's hopeless. I resolve to make tomorrow better. That's strong, powerful, hopeful, gritty. Right? The hope that gritty people have, it's got nothing to do with luck, but it's got everything to do with getting back up again. So studies about suffering, studies about hope, they prove this, right? They've shown some really, really important lessons that we can take away here about hope and about grit. When suffering, for instance, can't be controlled, it leads to what's called learned hopelessness. But when suffering that has an out, right? Something that can be done to change the circumstances. Resilience develops, fortitude develops. Pessimists, for instance, they tend to place blame on these permanent and pervasive causes. Optimists, however, they habitually search for temporary and specific causes for their sufferings so that they can move past it, right? This difference on outlook, this perspective totally can change the way that you look at your life and approach your life entirely. It's just a change of perspective. Optimists often see causes as their personal responsibility, which means they can change their circumstances. When something doesn't work, they move on. They keep trying. They see their failures through the eyes of hope. They say, you know what? This is totally screwed up right now, but it's temporary. I can fix it. I take responsibility for this. I can get better. I can do something differently. I can try a different path. I can learn something new. I can develop a new skill. I can level up. I can try this. I can try that. I can make sure that I get out of this mess. That's what an optimist says. A pessimist says, oh, you know, this didn't work. I guess I'm just dumb. All right. I guess I'll just settle for being average. All right. I tried this one or two times, but I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. Come on, man. You can always level up. You can always develop your skills. You can always meet someone new that can help raise your standards, that can help you get your game up. You can always take a new course, a new lesson. You can always try a different approach, right? See your failures through the eyes of an optimist. That's just another reason to go back and try harder. Hit it again until you succeed. So how do you develop hope? You develop hope through three stages. First, you want to have a growth mindset, which means believing you can actually change by learning to do better. A growth mindset says that you can learn and you can develop your intelligence and your skills, that your abilities are not fixed, but they can be grown, right? To learn more about that, you should check out the podcast and article that I wrote and published about this whole idea of developing a growth mindset. The second piece is about optimistic self-talk, which you need to practice regularly, especially when you fall down. When you fall down, it's good to say, hey, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I've done it before. I've gotten myself out of worse situations than this before. So I can do this again. I can get out of this mess. If I've done harder things in the past, I can definitely handle this. It's going to suck. Sure. It's going to be difficult. Absolutely. But I can do it. And I'll be stronger once I do. And then the final piece is perseverance over adversity. You know, that's the final stage there. If you have a growth mindset, you have optimistic self-talk that you practice on a regular basis, then you will give yourself an opportunity. You'll be setting yourself up to persevere over these adversities. You'll be setting yourself up. You'll be setting the foundation for yourself to persevere over your difficulties, over your problems. And ultimately, you'll be able to have hope for the future, be optimistic about your circumstances, and then potentially progressing and growing and becoming better. So those are the four pieces. Those are the four traits of the grittiest people on the planet, as outlined in Angela Duckworth's book, Grit. If you want the book summary for this, of course, you can pick that up over at getflashnotes.com. But remember, if you want to get your grit on, there are four things you want to remember here. Number one, get passionate, develop an ultimate goal. Number two, practice your craft regularly and deliberately. Number three, develop a purpose and use that to propel you when things get tough. And finally, number four, cultivate hope and optimism for a better future, especially when you're struggling. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions at deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.